coming. Well, my abnormal hours of operation are usually 5 a.m. till about 9, 10 o'clock at night. And I know he goes into 3, 4 in the morning sometimes when he's up north. So, I don't know. I told him, I said, if you're coming down this way, you know, we'll make room for you. We'll make it work. All right, see everybody in a few. W8RCY.
Yep, it'll all line up one time, sooner or later. And yeah, I'm with you about 5 a.m. till 10 p.m., somewhere in that range, give or take an hour on either end. And so, anyway, K8BSI, driving behind a truck, blowing snow off the top. Can't even see. Where you at, Dave?
North Avenue southbound. It looks like it's going to take me to 94. I'm going to be taking freeways. This is weird, but whatever.
Oh, all right. Yeah, 94-696 Sydney Quinder. That's probably pretty good. I'm on southbound Van Dyke at 16 mile.
I didn't bring my Meshtastic devices like I said I was going to, so that's okay. But, brought the other toy, so that would be the... I don't know if it's going to be that impressive to people. I'm still kind of on the fence with it, but it's okay.
I like it myself. I talk about an all-in-one communications device. I mean, wow. So, yeah, very cool. It's like the same as that IP phone you got that's Wi-Fi. Only this one does Wi-Fi radio kind of thing. So, anyway, I did quickly set up my gateway node as a mobile Meshtastic, and so I have it with me. It doesn't seem to be finding anything, so we'll see how it goes.
You guys joining us for breakfast? Navy 8 here.
Yes, we are. It's going to take me a while to get there. 8:36 is my arrival time.
Well, save you a spot. That's great. Glad you guys are joining. Continue.
Yep, good morning, Phil. We'll be there shortly, about 8:23, and I'll be getting hungry.
Yeah, just a word of caution, if you order an omelet there, it's 5 eggs. You got to order the mini if you want a 3 egg.
Oh, good to know. Yeah, yeah. back a couple decades ago, I would have got through that big one, but not so much anymore.
Yeah, I used to always order the regular. I had no idea. It's somewhere in small print, it said it was 5 eggs. I never noticed it. And I kept thinking, man, it's just so much. And then when they reprinted the menus, it was in big letters, 5-egg. I said, you kidding, I've eaten 5-egg almonds up until this time? I said, wow. Go ahead, Dave.
You got to be really hungry or you share it. Maybe it's for sharing the 5 almonds. But yeah, three eggs would be good enough.
Okay, we got a semi trying to back into a place on 13 mile. I got it blocking up traffic completely. This guy doesn't know what he's doing.
Can't believe Dakota's getting rid of his 500. I think it's a great radio. I guess his whines, though, his makes a whining noise, and he's just like, I'm done.
Is that as an FTM 500?
Yeah, FTM 500, and he's like, do you hear that noise? He, like, sent me a recording. I go, yeah, faintly, but it's, like, almost like I have to, like, open my ears up to really hear it. And, but I don't have that on mine, so I think he just got a lemon, and I think he's going to sell it, and he'll have to speak for it. I think he's going to sell it, and I know he's getting a 5100, so, I mean, if he's getting a 5100, it's probably indication he's going to sell it.
Okay, I assume you mean ICOM, that's what I'm talking on right now. Are they still selling those? I thought they were kind of obsolete.
Yeah, apparently they're still selling them. I don't think there's any, I don't know if they made a replacement one for it, but I know it's got a big, gigantic display, though.
Yeah, I just wish it was a color display, because you have to get the angle right. I have to have an actual angle toward me, because if I have it flat with the, perpendicular to the seats or whatever, it's hard to read. So I had to get a mount that I could angle.
Yeah, I mean, if you buy it for an analog radio, it's fine, you know. I mean, it's fine probably for D-Star as well, but there's just no D-Star in the area.
Yeah, what I love about it is I've got the app and the Bluetooth, so when I'm traveling, I just, I don't have to program the radio. I just put where I'm at, bring it up, and it's just got where I'm at, and just see who's shows a map of all the local systems. I just punch it and it programs the radio, whether it's analog or D-Star. And that's it.
I did not know they had that. Go ahead, Greg.
I did not know it had that either. That's very slick. I like that. Huh. Interesting. Yeah, well, he's sending that FTM 500 back a second time. I'm assuming he's going to get it back fixed this time, so it'll be a 100% radio, still with warranty, basically brand new. And I think Davian's jumping on buying it, because otherwise I was thinking about it. But there you go. So, but he already ordered the ICOM, so it's a done deal. We'll just see how it plays out, if they actually fix it or not. I'm assuming they will.
Yeah. I can show you how that all works when you get here, you know, breakfast or something. I just pull it in. AVPRC, guys, shortly.
C8VSI. Sean, where you at?
I'm showing 838. My ETA jumped up because I took 21 miles instead of M59 because I like to avoid M59. So I will be there 838. Save me a spot. KF8S.
A spot shall be saved. Sean, you mobile yet?
KF8S mobiling.
On the road again, K8VSI.
Yep, I'm resisting going to, that's weird, they got a Dunkin' Donuts right next to the Tim Hortons. How's that for, interesting? Well, I'm avoiding going to Micro Center. I don't need anything, but I know if I go in there, I'll want to buy something.
Yeah, I'm currently, I've got a 3 monitor set up on my computer. The center one is a nice 4K, and the other two are not. So if I go into Micro Center, I'll probably walk out with 2 monitors, and that would be a lot. so two matching monitors to match my the one I have. And I keep trying to stop myself from doing that. And I'm sure there'd be other toys in there that I would buy too.
Yeah, if you have a Costco membership, they got some good deals on monitors there too. I ended up buying two from them. I got two 32-inch monitors. I gave one to the kids for their computer because they broke their old one. Well, actually, my wife broke the old one. It fell or something. I don't remember what it is. I don't know the whole story. Nobody would tell me. And it was a nice monitor, too. It was like a nice Dell monitor. So I replaced it with this one. So they're happy with it. Now the kids have a nice little monitor for their computer, and then I took the other one from my work one, and then I've repurposed my old Dell monitors. My old Dell monitor, it had it's like a USB-C power. It's got like 100 watt, or maybe it's 90 watt, I don't remember. It's like 90 watt power supply comes off of the USB-C, so you can power your laptop off of it and all that stuff, and that thing's great, but I wish it was larger, so I just use that for the ham radio stuff now.
Ah, very good. Yeah, I should look at Costco to at least get to the same size as my current one, but I'm weird. I want three of the same monitor, so I don't know. And I shopped the one I got quite a bit before I bought it. And bang for the buck and all that, and I really like it. So, but that's for some, I don't know, one day when I just feel like it, I'll do it.
Yeah, or just get one good center monitor. I mean, seriously, you know, if you get to that point, look at the Dell. Dell monitors, Dell makes good monitors, and get one, especially, well, you got a Mac Mini, so it doesn't matter, it's powered. I was just thinking, if you were using MacBooks or, you know, any other notebook that was using USB-C power, having a USB-C monitor as kind of your hub is kind of cool, because, you know, a lot of them have USB ports built into them, they have a built-in hub and all that stuff, and it'll power your laptop, and so that's how I got, like I said, that's how I got my Surface, which is my ham computer, and I don't even use the display on the Surface. I just leave it closed and hooked up to a monitor and a keyboard and a mouse.
Yeah, that's pretty slick. My monitor does have a USB hub in it, but it's not 90 watt or anything like that, just a standard hub. So I've got it plugged into my Mac, and then I got a few devices hanging off of it.
Yeah, that's fine, because you got the Mac, you know, Mac Mini's got its own power, so you don't have to deal with that. And then, yeah, you can just plug that in, but I'm telling you, it's really convenient, though. I see why they do them at, like, work offices, because the video goes through that USB-C connection as well. So you got the video and you got the USB all going through one cable. So it's literally sit down at your desk, plug it into that one thing, and off to the races.
Yeah, that is a slick setup for sure.
Not sure what I'm going to do the rest of the day. I'm usually not up this early. Or at least the last couple weeks I've been getting up around this time. So I guess it's we just continue on what I do. But I think we got the Meshtastic stuff pretty much figured out, at least as much as we could do. I might poke at the reflector again and try to make that stable. I got to figure out if there might be a new version of it, and maybe if maybe they fixed it. I don't know. I don't like the idea that it keeps on crashing, and it seems to be the root cause seems to be anytime like All-Star is being transcoded or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, because up to like 6 months ago or whenever it was, that thing ran pretty doggone solid that I know of. Not that I used it a lot, but and now it's not. So I don't know. It's like something changed or I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, the change is that the server and the voke and the transcoding or whatever you want to call it, they're in two separate places. So there's a network connection, and sometimes that gets gummed up. And so the solution would be to just run it all from my house, but because I have that carrier grade NAT, I can't really host servers on my my local network anymore. So I get by with this encode, So I don't know. I'll see what I can do. I have some ideas I want to try and see if I can get it, but at least right now it's self-healing. If it does break, you're going to lose about 30 seconds of talk time or whatever you call it before it comes back up, and then it stays up for a couple hours.
Right. Okay. So you got it as good as you can on that level anyway. Yeah, but when you get back to your house, there's some tricks you can do for that too. But yeah, so that change, just that latency and the connection between the two, something hiccuping there, I don't know. But somehow get that more reliable or have a tunnel or move it back home and figure out a way to tunnel that out to be publicly available.
Yeah, the other thing I can do is I can have two servers. I don't really want to do that, but one server out over there and in the cloud, and then have another server somewhere else, and then they're linked together, and then all the encoding happens locally. So that is another possible solution. It'd be a hack for sure, but I think it'll be more stable.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of carrier-grade NAT as far as for geeks like us that do serve a couple things out of their house. You know, I don't do much, but even like my scanner, getting it that remotely, and there's a few other things. My SDR control remote, I guess the majority of people would never know the difference, but in our situation, it's kind of, I don't care for it at all. I don't know if there's a way that they could, can you pay for a static ID?
You don't pay for a static IP, but what you can do is a VPN, and you can have a VPN into your, wow, these people, they're not happy with me going 75 miles an hour, they gotta go 90. Whoa, they're just skipping lanes, that is very unsafe, but one day they will be humbled. So the solution is that basically set up a VPN, the short answer.
You can set up your own VPN to your cloud server, right?
Yes. Yeah, and that's what I do. I have a tunnel going between, I have a mesh VPN. We've been talking about meshes these last days, but it's like, it's a service called Tailscale, T-A-I-L, scale, all one word. And basically every device that you want to participate in the VPN or the mesh network, you put this Tailscale client on the device, and then any device can talk to any device in that network. Kind of cool. It's like having your own private network, and it's got some tricks and things to get around the carrier grade NAT, all that stuff. You don't have to deal with that.
Yeah, I remember when you set that up. Yeah, that's a pretty slick solution there.
Yeah, and this way you don't expose ports to the internet, right? So if you want to get to it, you can put Tailscale on your phone too. So then you activate the VPN on your phone, and then you get to your scanner or whatever through that. And then if a device can't have Tailscale on it, you can use one of your devices that can have Tailscale on it. and port forward that way. So you can say, okay, well, anything on this, I want to forward to this other machine from, you know, so it's, that's how you do it. This is how you get around carrier grade NAT.
Oh, I got it. Okay. So, yeah, you could actually accomplish anything with it. Is there a cost to tail scale?
So far, it's free if you're just using it for personal use. You know, you're not associated with a business or anything.
Okay, cool.
They do have some paid add-on stuff, but I don't know what that gives you. So, but that one was told to me by somebody at work. I know there's another one out there called Zero Tier. It's kind of like, that was the first one that came out. And Sean uses that, and I think the CMN Network and all that, they're using that. And so that's another opportunity. Zero Tier and Tail Scale. They're kind of the same idea, but they do it a little differently.
Roger. Ooh, Copper got somebody on the other side. JE8VSI, northbound 53, still no new Meshtastic nodes. I'm kind of got the screen open on my phone. I'm assuming it would pop up if someone was discovered. But I had nothing on the way down and nothing on the way back.
Yeah, what I found, it doesn't work too well in the car. I mean, you can get a mag mount antenna. The other thing, too, is the Meshtastic is pretty quiet unless you're sending a message out. So you could try to go into the long, fast channel and just say Marco, and that would send a packet out, and then something might respond to it and say acknowledged.
Oh, all right. Yeah, because you're right. If they weren't to, if they have no reason to, my little mobile node wouldn't even hear something that I drove by.
Yeah, that's been my experience. I mean, I'll, when you're moving in a car, it doesn't work too well moving in a car, I've noticed as well. So, like, if you park somewhere and then send out Marco or whatever, then something might hear you. But it's still very niche. Not too many people. If people have them, they might not leave their devices on, or if they have them on, you know, they're sitting in at their desk in their house. You know, are they really going to get any, you know, are you really going to get anybody that way? So they're very short range in that respect. I guess the radios in them aren't the best. So somebody needs to come out with, like, a professional, like, LoRa thing that has a better, like, front end in it and works better. But, of course, you're only as good as the other devices, so I don't know.
Yeah, well, they do suit the purpose. And, you know, yeah, I don't know, a better radio. If you're not getting out more power, you know, it might be a cleaner signal or better ears, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, the fact that you and I can send each other messages from, like, 4 miles away on these little tiny devices is pretty impressive to begin with. I only, you know, the expectation is only, like, 1 or 2 miles with that. It's a little bit longer than a walkie-talkie, you know. If I were to go on a GRMS channel and you were to go on a GRMS channel, walkie-talkie at, outside, would we hear each other 4 miles away? I don't know.
On 1 watt? Yeah, I don't know either. Probably not.
Yeah, and as I was telling Captain Don, you know, consider this beta quality. It's not polished or perfect. It does a good job, but it's not without its faults and things that need to be solved.
Oh yeah, it's definitely got room for improvement. I don't know if I told you, but I got rid of my gateway node, and I got the outdoor one permanently on an Android tablet, which I'm Bluetoothed to it with for now, and we can still. reach it when I put it up in a tree, all the better. But so that's the one I've got the MQTT on. And but anyway, the Android app actually has an audio area in the settings to enable it or something. I didn't look too much into it. But the iPhone app does not have that. So I found that to be interesting.
I don't know how well that's going to work out. I think you really definitely have to be closer for that one. The text messages are a little bit easier to bounce around, but yeah, I don't know how the voice ones are going to work.
Yeah, I'll have to pull that. I just quickly got that running just to get a different gateway to MQTT, but I'll look at it a little bit closer at one point. And because even if I do enable that, what's the input and output? Is it the tablet? Is there push to talk? Or is it just some beta thing? I don't have a clue.
Yeah, it'll probably bring up like a microphone or something like that, and then you say what you need to say, and then send it. It probably has a limit, a time limit, on how long the message can be and things like that.
Yeah, and if they keep moving forward on that, that, you know, that's an advancement in it, even if it's just short messages or whatever, that'd be pretty cool. Even if they compress the heck out of it, it doesn't even sound good. It would still be neat for a completely off-grid network solution.
Yeah, I'll probably experiment a little bit with it on like a private channel. I was thinking, you know, maybe we make a private one that's RF only, or you know, a channel that's RF only. And then I was going to make one for just me goofing around testing. I'm not sure what the limit of channels on that thing is, though. I don't know if it's 6 or 4 or what.
I think it was 0 through 6 or 1 through 7, depending on how you look at it. Maybe 8. I'm not sure.
Yeah, 8 might make sense if it's a bit or a byte or whatever you call it. A byte is 8 bits. Wait, then you could have 256. I don't know. It's yeah, something along those lines. 8 sounds about right.
Yeah, I'm late in taking my meds today, so I gotta get home. Otherwise, I would stop and get a car wash and some petrol. But maybe I'll head back out.
Yeah, I was debating getting a Tim Hortons coffee, but I'm going to not do that. Instead, I'm just going to go back home and relax. I'm sure I'm going to be doing projects today again, as usual, because I can't sit still.
Hey, you got an empty house for a little while anyway. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm not used to my wife working days and then, like, having weekends off, and now she's going to have this holiday off because they don't want her being there by herself because she's, like, in a new department, and she's still kind of in her training phase. So they don't want trainees being by themselves over holidays. So she'll probably have to work next holiday, but at least Christmas and New Year's she's off, but she'll be back tonight after she's done with her 6 weeks of training. But, yeah, it's been a little shift. So, yo, you're home, yay! So, I'm glad that she, usually we're kind of like passing each other. Like, either I'm starting work and she's going to sleep or vice versa.
Right, yeah, that's a change each time it happens. You know, when she shifts her shift around like that, but you get used to it.
Yeah, it's nice because when she, I mean, I try to do the best I can, but my kids really listen to my wife more than me as far as like cleaning up, picking stuff up, and we're working on that stuff. They're kind of getting a little They're like me. I get distracted with projects, and they get distracted with projects, and then they don't want to clean up, and then it's a fight with them. But they listen to my wife more than me. My wife has more authority. So, but we're working on that to try to get them. We're trying not to punish them. We're trying to give them incentive-based, you know, do it. You do this, and you get that, or, you know, nothing major, but, you know, just try to get them in the most, because they're not like us, you know, as adults, we want to have our house clean and all that stuff, and they're not at that phase yet, you know, they don't have the sense of pride of keeping a clean environment and things like that.
Right, oh yeah. Yeah, I've met a couple once. They were talking about their kids just got their first house and car and all that, and they said they go drive in their car and they spill stuff and throw french fries in the back, and at their house they leave their bottles everywhere, and just to get them back for all the picky-uppy stuff they never did as kids. They do it to their own kids once they establish themselves. So anyway, I'm in my driveway. I'm going to transition, and I'll probably be on the hub in a little bit. KEATSI, I'll listen up.
Alrighty, I'm about 3 minutes, and then I'll be off here for a bit. KFADA.
Whiskey, Delta Whiskey, WADW.
NADBF testing.
All right, WFSR.